The last 12 or 24 hours have shown me more than anything else is the energy that is out there for this moment.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Democrats may be focusing on the White House in 2020, but in Massachusetts, a Kennedy has his eye on the Senate, and the F-35s start arriving in Burlington, Vermont. But first, Cheryl Claproot has been named the permanent police commissioner in Springfield, Massachusetts. Claproot, who has been on the force for four decades, had been acting commissioner since February following the abrupt resignation of John Barbieri. Mayor Dominic Sarno says Claproot has signed a four-year contract to lead the 400-member department. Congressman Joe Kennedy III campaigned in Pittsfield, Massachusetts on Sunday after announcing his bid to unseat Senator Ed Markey, a fellow Democrat. And WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landis was there.
Kennedy set the stage for the primary battle with a kickoff event in East Boston Saturday. The next day, he traveled the state making his case for an intra-party shakeup.
The last 12 or 24 hours have shown me more than anything else is the energy that is out there for this moment.
At Hotel on North in downtown Pittsfield, Kennedy addressed local leaders like District Attorney Andrea Harrington at a breakfast hosted by State Senator Adam Hines.
If you believe that our system is broken, if you believe that there are voices that are shut out, and not just shut out because they struggle to find ways to elevate them, but because there are structures in our society that deliberately keep and carve people out of this system.
In office since 2013, the congressman vowed to make regular visits to the region, where public officials frequently say they feel ignored by Beacon Hill.
If we talk about challenges to economic growth and regional dynamism, look, I represent areas on the southern coast of Massachusetts, Fall River and Taunton. We've been talking about regional equity for an awfully long time. We've been talking about the South Coast Rail for an awfully long time. Maybe you guys have heard something about a rail system that's coming out here. If we are going to gauge economic development by boost to GDP or boost to productivity, that's great. Boston's going to win every single one of them. Silicon Valley is going to win them. Maybe Manhattan. There's more to development in our country than the measure of GDP.
While he criticized President Donald Trump over obstructing the Mueller investigation and news that Trump asked Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, Kennedy said the problems America faces don't lie with the president alone.
You also have to recognize that 63 million Americans believed that he was going to be a better steward of their hopes and dreams and aspirations and earned their vote. And so, yes, you got to fight back against Donald Trump. But if you don't fight back against the system that allowed him to win 63 million votes, folks, we're missing the entire battle.
Steve Pemberton and Shannon Liss Reardon are already running to unseat Markey, who has vowed to vigorously defend his seat. Speaking with reporters, Kennedy said Massachusetts needs a senator, quote, laser-focused and engaged on three big issues, starting with making sure that state residents are being heard.
You do that by showing up, making sure that their voices are at the table, their concerns are being addressed, and the policies down in Washington. Two, it's fighting for those policies in Washington. Yes, critical issues like the Green New Deal and climate change, but also about affordable housing, regional economic development, a disastrous foreign policy that we've got, and ensuring that a job at the moment allows you to meet the needs of a family. And third, it's about changing the politics that you're seeing that are so broken across this country. That begins with beating Donald Trump, but it also means flipping the Senate out of Mitch McConnell's control.
The Green New Deal is Markey's signature legislation, which he co-sponsored with New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The first-term senator has received endorsements already from Ocasio-Cortez and other powerful progressives, like fellow senator and presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren. Kennedy co-sponsored the Green New Deal in the House, but says the lengths he'll go to change the system to make it and other progressive objectives a reality distinguish him from Markey.
If you're going to pass a Green New Deal, we need to dismantle the filibuster. That has put up obstacles to progressive policies now for decades. I've called for it. Senator Markey hasn't. I'm not taking corporate PAC money. Senator Markey is. I believe that there should be term limits on Supreme Court justices so you decrease the temperature around these confirmations. Markey hasn't called for any of it. I believe that we need to end the Electoral College so the people of this country actually get the president that they voted for, not one built by an archaic system that is structurally disadvantages so many voices across our country.
Kennedy distanced himself from a report published by Sludge this month about his family's considerable investments in fossil fuel companies like Chevron and ExxonMobil. which have opposed the Green New Deal.
The fossil fuel investments there are held in family trusts over which I exercise no control. My personal holdings don't have those, and I stand by an extremely strong record of advocating for climate protection, environmental protection, against climate change, and again, as our original co-sponsor in the Green New Deal.
Kennedy said he was happy to put his progressive record up against anyone on that and other issues.
Whether it's fighting for transgender rights, whether it's trying to make sure that we have an immigration system that is reflective of our values and the humanity of every single person coming to this country, and protecting refugees and asylum seekers.
Kennedy is 38. Markey is 73 and the dean of the state's D.C. delegation. And Kennedy made age a part of his platform, asking, quote, if not now, when, on issues like student loan debt, the cost of rent, and climate change.
What more needs to be at stake for a next generation, if not economic issues around trying to make it somewhat feasible to be able to raise a family when the cost of childcare in this state and in 28 states across our country costs more than public tuition to public university.
The primary is September 15th, 2020. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Well, the first two F-35 fighter jets to be permanently assigned to the Vermont Air National Guard have arrived in Burlington. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports.
In 2013, the U.S. Air Force chose the Vermont Air Guard as the first National Guard base to host a squadron of F-35 fighter jets. After years of training, infrastructure upgrades, and controversy, the first two jets arrived in Burlington early Thursday afternoon. The two Vermont Guard pilots executed several flyovers before landing and taxiing to the Air Guard facility adjacent to the Burlington International Airport. Brigadier General Gregory Knight, Adjutant General of the Vermont National Guard, praised the men and women of the 158th Fighter Wing who worked to bring the plane to Vermont.
While the arrival of this aircraft is certainly significant, it is not what is most important about today. This is about you. It's about what you've done for many years and what you and our entire team will continue to do in future decades, particularly as our F-35 settles into Vermont. You're going to write our future. I'm excited for the next chapter of the Green Mountain Boys story.
158th Fighter Wing Commander Colonel David Smith reminded the personnel surrounding the planes how hard they worked to successfully bring the F-35 to Vermont.
Now that it's here, I just want to make sure it sinks in for all of us and remind everybody of something. Because it's official now, and if you look behind me, there's two F-35s on our ramp with Vermont tail flashes on them. You all are the first F-35 wing in the Air National Guard. Let me say it again. The first F-35 wing in the Air National Guard. The very first.
Lieutenant Colonel Nate Graber flew one of the two F-35s from the Lockheed Martin facility near Fort Worth, Texas, to Vermont. He described what it's like to fly the state-of-the-art aircraft.
I find it really easy to fly. The hard part with the plane is tactically employing it. So there's a lot of systems in there that provide the pilot a lot of information. And that's the part that takes the studying and takes the getting used to and the repetitions. But flying the airplane itself, it's super easy to land.
Well, they say it's a state-of-the-art aircraft. If we were able to get into the cockpit, what would we see?
The defining feature of the cockpit, there's two things. The primary displays in there look like two iPad. We just say we work it on the glass. There are other switches, of course, in the cockpit. And then the other part is we don't have a heads-up display. That's all projected on our helmets now. So all the data we need to fly the airplane, airspeeds, altitudes, where we need to turn, who we're targeting, or what target might be on the ground, that's all there in the helmet. So it's pretty cool.
The level of noise the F-35 will produce has garnered local opposition, but Graber says pilots will avoid the use of afterburners.
It's not a concern because we are definitely going to stick with 95% military power takeoffs. For here, we basically need to stay under 4,000 feet before we break ground and get airborne, and then we meet the Air Force regulation for what we need to transition from military to afterburner power.
18 more F-35s will arrive at the Vermont Air Guard base over the next 10 months. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thanks for listening. Till next time. I'm Ian Pickus.